Like, where did Mama Hug, you know, come, you know, all of this, and how God's walked you through all of this. It's been awesome to be mentored, I feel, is that your tools help to mentor us, and I feel that the inner healing that you do seems to come from a deep place. Very, very special. Very, very special.
Well, there's a lot of mystery around my birth, and we won't know this till we get to heaven. But anyway, the mother that raised me, supposedly birthed me, but she was a very, very wounded woman, and she struggled with anger and rage, and she was abusive. And then later, when I got about 10 years old, she started drinking. And so we had that into the equation. I had back then, they, you know, 75 years ago, they did not know about ADHD or PQLNSP. They didn't know about any of that. They just knew that I could not learn. And I can remember when I was in, I think, the first grade, or it might have been the first part of the second grade, they called me down to the basement in the school, and they took me through this series of tests. And I learned later that that test revealed that I had a very low IQ, and that I could not learn. I just could not learn. Of course, I couldn't sit still. And so each year in school, I would be what they call conditionally promoted to the next year, which meant I had to go to summer school every year. And then the first 6 weeks of school, I would do beautifully because I'd had it the year before. I had it in summer school, and now I did okay with it. But as soon as we were into the next year's curriculum, I was lost again. And so I struggled all the way through school. And it took me like 3 years to get one credit of algebra. And I still have never used that algebra, I feel sure. But anyway, so it was a real unhappy life as a little girl. I was experiencing some sexual abuse from the time that I was about 3 until about 6. And no wonder I couldn't learn because I'm, you know, busy trying to process this and that little brain of mine. And then I have a little sister, Linda Alice, and she came and she was everything I wanted. She was quiet. She was beautiful. She was smart. She had beautiful curly hair and bright, beautiful blue eyes. And she was just, you know, and so everything that I would love to have had that I never did have, I saw them giving it to her. And, you know, that did not sit well in my little spirit. So by the time I was probably 10, I was already sexually active. And, I mean, can you imagine a 10-year-old being sexually active? Mm. But I was. And I was looking for love in all the wrong places. My daddy, who was my hero, he was a wonderful Christian man, but he was so totally wrapped up in my mother that he could not see anything except, you know, he just wanted to make her happy. And he spent 54 years trying to do that. And, so he couldn't be there for my sister and I the way that we needed him. We needed him to stand up and say, "You're not going to treat my daughters like that." But he couldn't. So, anyway, when I was about 8 years old, my daddy was preaching at church, and I just felt like the Lord was saying, "Will you let me come in and be your," and back then we didn't know about really being the Lord, but "would you just let me be your Savior?" And so that night, I asked Jesus if he'd come into my life. And for 3 days, man, I was different. I didn't suck my thumb, masturbate, steal, cuss, nothing. I mean, I'm 8 years old, you're doing all that. Oh, yes, I was. But at that time, that first 3 days or 4 days, I mean, it was like walking on a cloud. But I'm telling you, after that first few days, I hit bottom. And because everybody had told me, when you let Jesus come into your life, you're totally different. Everything is different. You're wonderful. And I wasn't. And the message that I got, or that I'm sure the enemy gave me this message, is you're too bad for even God to save. And, but I still went to church. My daddy was faithful. He held every office in the church all my life. And so I went to church and I loved the Lord, but I couldn't get control of my sin. I couldn't, and like I said, by the time I was 10 years old, I was sexually active and making out with boys and just a terrible lifestyle. And still going to church, still reading my little Bible and marking my little envelope on Sunday morning, But I was just a mess. And so when I was 16, this good-looking hunk of a boy, moved in down the street from us. And it wasn't long till we were dating and got married. We got married when I was 16. And, oh, my goodness, you put a mentally ill person together with anybody else, it's not going to be pretty. And I was a mess. I mean, I was so selfish and self-absorbed and caught up in me and what I wanted. And I thought he was going to, in my mind, I thought he was going to do like my daddy did. He was going to worship at my feet and make my life wonderful. And with my mother, But George didn't do that. He did. He was not, because he was the baby. His closest sister was 16 years older than him. He was spoiled rotten. And so here we go. And so we tried for 25 years to make a marriage, and we just fought. It was not pretty. So, I went to church. I loved the Lord. I was doing the things that I, knew to do. Mm-hmm. And I was in this large church, and there were a lot of unlovely people, unlovely teenagers. They were the unpopular crowd. And I've got two or three children of my own by this time, and I'm seeing these young people, and my heart's moved with compassion for them, because I saw myself in them, that nobody was there for me, that nobody loved me, that nobody thought I was worth anything. And so I would, on Sunday morning, I sat in the same pew, eighth pew on the end from the front, and I would just sit there after the sermon was over and they had dismissed the service, and, the kids would play around for a little while, so I'd just sit there, and these kids would come, these young people would come one at a time, different weeks, and they would just pour their heart out, And I mean, my heart was moved with compassion, because that was me a few years ago. And I thought, if there had ever been anybody who would have just loved me and listened to me and cared that I was going through a hard time. So that is really kind of how the ministry started, is just caring about these young people. Teen Challenge was a real popular thing back in the 70s and 80s. And there was a guy in our church that was connected with David Wilkerson and his ministry. And they asked me if they could put some of their girls in our home that were waiting to go to Teen Challenge. They didn't have an opening, and could they put them there? And, of course, I said yes. And so we would keep the girls, sometimes a few weeks. But we just began to see that a lot of these kids, they just needed a different home environment to be able to be functional and to be able to be, to get what they needed and to be productive people in the kingdom. And so we started would bring kids home, and their parents, of course, would agree, and they would come stay with us. And so when I say I had foster children, I didn't have little children. I had teenagers with drug problems or emotional problems, and I mean, I'm just about crazy my own self. So I didn't know really what to do. And my thought was, if I could love these kids into the kingdom, if they weren't born again, if I could love them into the kingdom, if we could just provide simple things, like just simple food and a house to live in. And so And George was all for that because he loved his electric trains, and he was very creative with all of that. And with me busy with all these kids, he had time to be able to do the things that he was doing. So he was all for it. You know, let's bring these people in and keep this girl busy. And so that's kind of how we got into the foster care, foster children. And we had just a little house, and I thought, Lord, if we had a bigger house, we could take in more kids. And so one day we were riding around, and we found this beautiful 3,500-square-foot house that had 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, a huge living room, huge dining room, nice-sized kitchen. And I wanted that house. I just wanted that house. And so the Lord gave it to me. We had to pay for it, but he worked it out so that we could have that house. And so we started taking in, more people. And, of course, I've got a whole story about all of that. But anyway, so we did that for, I think I did that for about 25 years. And,
wow.
It was about 20 years. In that 20 years, we had 56 of these foster children, people, teenagers, you know, whatever. And, oh, my goodness, there's a whole litany of stories that go with all of that. But anyway, so that's all of that. And during this time when I have all these foster kids, that would be the late 60s and probably the early 70s, I didn't know what to do with them. You know, all I knew was to love them, make biscuits and gravy for them. I could do that. I look back and I say, Lord, if I had just had the principles that I've got now that you gave me, if I had had those people would have fared so much better because they would have really gotten true ministry. But I had, you know, I was very codependent with them, and I, you know, anyway, out of 56, 13 of them I'm in contact with on a regular basis, those 13 are all in full-time ministry. Is that not
amazing? Wow.
Now, people say, what happened to the others? I said, well, I don't know where most of them are now, but the difference is not that I was different. The difference, the ones that made it, they came and they partook of what I had to give, and they turned to the Lord and let him do what needed to be done. The rest of them came and they stayed there, but they didn't receive and let God do what he needed to do in their lives. So, but every once in a while I'll get a call from one of them, and I've got so many stories about that. I better not get off on that. We'll never get through. But anyway, that's kind of how all that turned out. And in the meantime, my pastor says to me, he says, would you be willing to do my counseling for me? And I loved it, you know. I just thought that was the most wonderful thing in the world. And so I started doing that in 1970, the end of 70 or the early part of 71, counseling, and really did love it. And then eventually had become on staff at his church. And I did that for up until 1990, probably 94. And, I still counseled after that, but I mean on staff. I was there on staff. And I would just walk down the hall and say, God, I can't believe you paid me to do this thing that I love. And when I started getting, when those people started not changing, I'd think, I hate it. But then when he gave me the principles and I started using those principles in the counseling and would see them change, Then I enjoyed it again. So I don't know if I answered your question or not.
No, you did. You did. Just taking us through, you know, it's kind of what I'm hearing you saying is, you know, through your wounds, you now are helping others, and God just had to kind of take you through all of that. And plus those 20 years, I mean, that was training ground for,
yes, it was.
You know, what you ended up doing. And,
let me tell you this little story. And, you know, I had that learning disability. I could not learn. I could not get 2 and 2 to add up to 4 to save my life. I was a very slow reader. I just didn't have, you know, it was just a mess up in my brain. And so John was born in 66. In 1966, Christmas, somebody gave me a living Bible. Now, I had read the King James Bible, had no idea what it said, but I read it faithfully. And somebody gave me a living Bible for Christmas. My husband was working shift work, and he would leave at 10 o'clock at night to work his night shift. So on December the 25th, 1966, I get the children to bed. I go back in my living room. I pick up this living Bible, and I start reading. I'm telling you, it was like a storybook. I could understand what the Bible was saying. And I'm telling you, I read that entire living Bible through in about 10 days. I mean, read it from cover to cover. It was the most amazing thing that I have ever seen. Now, this is 1966. And by 1970, I was able to go back to the same high school that I went to that I could not pass. And I was able to make A's and B's and then was able to graduate 12 years after I had started. You know, I mean, now I've got 3 children. Graduated from high school and was able to go into the junior college and start there, and was on the president's list the whole time that I was there. All right, and I'm thinking, how did that happen? How did that happen? Here it is. You ready? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destruction. Mary, when I was reading that living Bible, I had no idea that God was using that to restore my brain to be able to learn and to be able to write and to be able to put things together. And I think I could probably even do an algebraic expression if it was really necessary. God used his word. The reading of that word is when I started turning around. When inside I started turning around.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, I've heard stories of that before, how God's word has healed people who were dyslexic, who had never read a book before. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. That is so awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
So you go into junior college, and then I know you've studied with some pretty amazing counseling techniques and things like that. I mean, you've just kind of been a lifelong learner, haven't you?
I have. I love to learn, and I love to, you know, like even some of the things with the essential oils and how God created those and how they are able to go up into that limbic brain and release things. And I'm telling you, that has just been fascinating to me to see that part of the healing process that I didn't have any idea that there was anything such as that. But I just love to learn. And I don't want to learn something weird out there. I want to learn something that is practical, that the average, ordinary, learning disabled person could use, that it makes sense to them, and that they could actually incorporate that into their lives. So anyway, I try to make things really simple, and I make them simple. Oh, well, you know, I've had to teach my own self so much because I couldn't learn. I taught myself how to play the piano and the organ because a music teacher told my daddy, "You're wasting my time and your money. This child cannot learn." So,
wow. Miracles. Miracles. This is wonderful.
Really?
Yeah, this is so awesome. And that kind of brings up about your book, and I call it a workbook because it's so phenomenal, Ministering to the Wounded Soul Through Prayer and Essential Oils. Tell us a little bit about where this kind of came from and how it came to be.
Okay. Well, the actual prayers came from a course that it's a 42-week course that I use to teach people how to minister to all different kinds of problems called Healing the Wounded. And so, you know, we would just have the lecture, and I would pray over people. And one day somebody raised their hand in the middle of class. I had about maybe 200 students in there, and they raised their hand, and they said, "Is there any way that you could make these prayers available to us so we could use them?" And I thought, well, what a concept. Sure, I think I can. And so I wrote prayers to go with each topic, like anxiety or depression or abuse or, you know, whatever, eating disorders, whatever it was. And so I had all these prayers that I had written really for the students so that they could pray for their friends and for themselves and whatever. So back at the early part of the summer, you were doing I think it was a Facebook Live, and I happened to click onto that, and I just felt like I was just sitting at a most intimate conversation between you and the Lord as you were kind of processing some things, and you'd read a little bit, and then I could see that you were pondering, and then I just thought that was wonderful. So I just clicked in so you'd know that I was listening. And when you saw that I was listening, if you recall, you said, "Oh, Mama Hug, I'm going to be in, you know, whatever, and would you be interested?" And I said, "Oh, I would love it." And then I got to thinking, what if she's talking about California? I don't know if I can get to California. And I asked you where, and you said probably Crestview. So I thought, well, that would be good. And so I am asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to share? How do you want me to minister? What do you want me to minister? And so I've been, you know, doing that for several days after you asked me. And I was in bed one night, and I thought, you know, I wish that I had something beautiful to give, to just give them, you know. Maybe have a little drawing or something, just something beautiful. And the Lord said, "I gave you something beautiful." And I'm thinking, you did? I mean, I know he did, but, you know, I'm trying to think which one he's talking about. And he said, if you have already researched all these oils and how they apply to different things, all you've got to do is take that, the prayers from Healing the Wounded, change the word healing into ministry, add the oils, and he says, you have got a beautiful gift to share with them. Mm-hmm. I was so excited. Now, you've got to understand, I'm coming off of a 2.5-year correction from the Lord, being disciplined and corrected and spanked, and he hadn't really let me do very much, and I have not been excited in 2.5 years. I was so excited about that I wrote down that very night. I got up out of my bed and wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. The next morning when I got up, I hit that computer, and I mean, I was going to town on that computer, and Kelty reaches in there. She says, "I haven't seen you this excited in a long time." I said, "Girl, I have not been this excited in a long time." So, I mean, it was like just lickety-split. It was put together. And then I thought, well, you know, I'll just ask her about should I bring them or not. I mean, you know, I knew I could, you know, needed to get permission mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. you. And you said, "Sure, bring them." And then somebody says, "No, you don't want to just give them away. You need mm-hmm. to, you know, they need to invest in their healing." So anyway, so we had put a little charge on it. And then he gave me the beautiful picture from Young Living. And so that's how that came to be.
Ministering to the wounded soul through prayer and essential oil. And I just want to add to this piece, it's probably about almost a year prior to us being together, the Lord put on my heart that I was supposed to purchase a ring from you. And I'm just thinking, what? What? You know, is this, I just didn't understand it, so I never connected with you to ask you this crazy thing. And when I saw you on that Facebook Live, I knew that we had to work together. I didn't know what God's plan was yet. But as I sat and in that front row listening to you and looking at this book that you created, ministering to the wounded soul through prayer and essential oils, and then you just sharing, and how many people in that room, after sitting there a long time, you know, listening to other speakers and other amazing, amazing people, just really, I felt like we just kind of fell to our knees, and that God just worked through you something amazing, and it was just really beautiful. And then just this picture that God showed me, you know, this is the ring, and just this one piece, and now, of course, getting your other materials out to really minister to hundreds and thousands upon thousands of people. Mama Hug, I am will be forever grateful that you said yes and that you listened to the Lord, and we continue to turn to Him for guidance. Thank you for sharing your story. And is there any other words you want to share, anything about your life or love or whatever that you'd like to share before we close this out?
Well, I just want to say that God can take the biggest mess and make something beautiful out of it. Because if there was anybody in this world that was doomed to not have a good life, it would have been me. Because of choices that I made. Yes, I had some rough beginnings, but I made some choices, and I did some things and committed some sins, and I mean, you know, just a mess. But, and I loved the Lord to the best of my ability, but He did not give up on me. Even when I was in the midst of my sin, He did not give up on me. He did not say, okay, you are disqualified. But see, the enemy wants us to think that if we've made a mess out of our lives, that we're disqualified. Honey, let me tell you something. Your worst sin will become your very place of ministry if you'll let God turn it around and use it. And so that is, you know, I just always, you know, when people say, well, I've just done too much, I'm thinking, no, you haven't done too much. Because if anybody had done too much, me and Paul the Apostle, we had done too much. And look what He did with him. And praise God, look what He's doing with this old lady.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Mama Hug. We love you. We appreciate you. And thank you for your gifts that you're giving to the world. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.